Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
All right, the 34th installment of the study of Sefer HaMitzvos corresponds to the last two chapters of Hilchas Brachos, the laws of blessings, and the first chapter of Hilchas Milah, the laws of circumcision. Now, we learned yesterday that although the mitzvah, the biblical mitzvah that's connected to Brachos, the 19th mitzvah of the Torah, refers specifically to food, and it's specifically something that's required after one experiences satiation, nonetheless, the Chachamim instituted a variety of blessings. They all have the same purpose, to constantly remember Hashem, the Rambam says, and to develop a sense of awe and deep-seated respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we mentioned that some of the brachas are not from something that we enjoy at all. There's birchas hanenen from food. There are things that the neshama, that the soul, so to speak, benefits from, like aromas. We talked about brachas that are recited because of unique occasions, like a shechianu. And then there's a bracha which is recited when we do a mitzvah. So in the last halacha of Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam says that something which is a minhag, something which is a custom, even if it's a custom that hails back to the prophets, this does not have a bracha. Now, the question is, what does that mean? If it's a custom that goes back to the time of the prophets, why is it not a mitzvah? The reading of the Megillah was introduced by Mordechai and Esther. It's the time of the prophets. The lighting of the menorah wasn't even in the era of prophecy anymore. And nonetheless, we make a bracha. And the Rambam's example is Netilas Arava B'Shvi Shalchag, when we take the Arava, the Hoshana, on the seventh day of Sukkot, which we refer to as Hoshana Rabbah, and we bang the Hoshanas on the ground. It's a Minig Nevi'im. So why don't we make a bracha? The Rashba, in his commentary on Masechet Sukkah, explains that certain things were not formally established and introduced by the Nevi'im. Rather, the prophets themselves behaved themselves in a certain manner. They themselves did this. And the rest of the Jewish people saw the prophets doing it, so they followed what the prophets did. They assumed that the prophets were aware of something and that they had a deeper intuition, and therefore it's the right thing to do. But it was never formally introduced to the Jewish people. There was never an injunction that was formalized. And because of that, it's something that's called a minhag hanaviim, and that kind of observance does not require a blessing. The Rambam also says that the recitation of Halal during the days of Rosh Chodesh, as well as the intermediate days of Sukkot and Pesach, and this would include, of course, the last day of Pesach as well, even though the Rambam does not explicitly say so, also does not require a blessing. The Ravid, who is the chief protagonist of the Rambam, strongly disagrees. And he says, you cannot compare the reading of Halal and Rosh Chodesh to the taking of an Arava. An Arava, he says, is a tiltul ba'alma. You take a branch, you hit it on the ground. The Halal is a time we come together and we praise Hashem and we articulate our feelings of appreciation for everything God gives us. He says, that's a formal injunction. So the Ravid sharply disagrees with the Rambam. Our custom today is that we do make a bracha. Although in many communities, the Chazan recites the bracha, and the rest of the congregation will answer Amen, fulfilling their obligation of a bracha through the Chazan, rather than making a bracha on their own, because of the opinion, out of respect for the Rambam's opinion. And the point is that not every mitzvah has a bracha. A mitzvah, a commandment, that which is mandated requires a blessing. That which is appropriate or good does not require a blessing. And the Rambam finishes off the series of halachas known as blessings with the following notion. He says, any time you have an opportunity to make a bracha, you should always make a bracha. But at the same time, if there's a time when the bracha is not necessary, then we should be careful not to make it. In the words of the Rambam, Le'olam yizohir adam bivracha she'ein etzicha. A person should be exceedingly careful about a bracha that is unnecessary. Ve'yarbe, and he should seek to increase brachas hatzriches, brachas which are necessary. The reason that we don't want to recite blessings unnecessarily is rooted in one of the Aseret HaDibrot, one of the mitzvot that were given to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, which is Le'sisa Hashem Hashem Alekecha Lashav. Even though typically we understand that mitzvah to be a prohibition from using Hashem's name for a false or unnecessary oath, but nonetheless, reciting a bracha that is unnecessary and reciting Hashem's name is also considered to be an act of sacrilege. we do not invoke God's name as a joke. It's a very serious thing. So if it's not necessary, if it's not required, it should not be done. Conversely, though, if we are able to make a bracha, then we should always seek the opportunity. There's a fascinating statement which is made in the Jerusalem Talmud. The Gemara says, Asid Adam Litein Din V'Cheshben. A person will someday have to give a detailed reckoning. Al Kol Sherasa Einai V'Lo Yachal. And anything that he saw and didn't eat. Did you ever hear of the seafood diet? Eats whatever he sees. The Yerushalmi says, if you don't eat whatever you see, there's a problem. That doesn't mean glutton. What it means, the Pnei Moshe explains, that a person has to be nice and libe levarech ulehedes es Hashem. You have to seize every opportunity to bless God. So if there's an opportunity to make a bracha, that's an opportunity to express God's praise. And this is the likely source of the Rambam's words, yarbe bebrachas atzriches. If there are blessings that are mandated or necessary, we should always seek opportunities to make a bracha. As David HaMelech said in the book of Tillim, b'chol yoim avarecheka, every day I bless you. And in related to this is, of course, the injunction that comes from the time of David HaMelech that a person should recite 100 brachas during the course of each day. David HaMelech and his Bezdin read into the Torah, Al Tikra Ma Elameya. It says, Mo Hashem Elikecha Shel Miyimach. What does God ask of you? And the Bezdin, with prophetic intuition in the time of David HaMelech, understood that God wanted something from the Jewish people. It was a very difficult time and people were dying. It was a disease and they felt that there was something that was missing. Something that they could and they should do. And they understood that this was the idea. People weren't making brachas often enough. Now remember, this predates the formalized blessings by many centuries. Because the Rambam himself says that the brachas that we recite today were instituted by Ezra and his Bezdin. Nonetheless, the concept of brachas was around much earlier. And so they said, Al Tikra Ma, it's not what, it's Meya. Meya means 100. And the Rambam actually tells us that a person has to seek to make 100 brachas every day. So if you daven 3 times a day, you're generally covered. But if you don't daven 3 times a day, the Shmoneh Esrei, which could happen on Shabbos, we only have 7 blessings, rather than 18 or 19 blessings in Shmoneh Esrei, a person is supposed to eat fruit and make a bracha on different kinds of things during the course of the day so that he completes his 100 blessings. And this is all related to the 19th mitzvah of the Torah, V'achalta v'savata uveirachta, the Torah's call to bless Hashem so that we constantly remember and revere the Almighty, as the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Brachos. So from Hilchos Brachos, the next series of halacha is called Laws of Mila, Laws of Circumcision. And this is, in the system of the Rambam, the 215th positive mitzvah of the Torah. Of course, it appears right in the beginning of the Torah. It is factually the second mitzvah in the Chumash, in the Bible. First mitzvah is Pru Revu, which shows up right away in the beginning. You should be fruitful and multiply. The second mitzvah, and the Sefer HaChinuch, who arranges his mitzvahs in accordance with how they appear in the Torah, in the weekly Parsha, that is number 2, mitzvah number 2. But the Rambam has a different system. In the Rambam system, it shows up as mitzvah number 215, in the words of the Rambam in the book of mitzvahs, Hatzivui Shenitztavino Lehimel. This is the command that God gave us that we should circumcise. As it is stated to Avraham Avinu, Himalachem kol zachar, you should circumcise all of your males. Now, the Rambam says that the Torah informs us that a person who violates this mitzvah, who does not perform this positive mitzvah, which would be an act of omission rather than an act of commission, he didn't do anything, he just didn't do anything. He just left things alone. So this is a circumstance, an instance where a person who doesn't do it would earn himself the dubious distinction of the punishment called kares, being cut off from the Jewish people. And it's considered a very, very grave punishment. There is only one other mitzvah, and that's the Korban Pesach, that a person would get kares for not doing something that the Torah tells him that he's supposed to do. In the book of mitzvahs, the Rambam says that this is explained in great detail in the 19th chapter of Masechet Shabbos, as well as the 4th chapter of Masechet Yevamot. The Rambam finishes by telling us that a woman does not have the commandment to circumcise her son. Self-understood that a woman doesn't have a commandment to circumcise. And why is this? She doesn't have a commandment, in the same way that the father is. So naturally, it would be the father's mitzvah. If there's no father to do the bris milah, obviously, then the mother would have to perform the mitzvah. And we see this very early on, that there was a little baby born to Moshe Rabbeinu and his wife Tzipporah, and they left. God said, go to Egypt. So he went straight to Egypt. And the truth is that if he would have made a circumcision, he would have had to wait a few days. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood, when God sends you on a mission, on a shlichut, you can't wait a few days. So actually, he did the right thing by delaying the bris milah. The problem was that he figured, first they'll break camp, they'll set up a tent, and when everything is prepared, that's when they'll have the bris milah. And instead, Moshe Rabbeinu became exhausted and falls asleep, and he is almost slayed by an angel who appears like a snake, a famous story in the Torah. Tzipporah, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, the mother of the baby, circumcises the baby. And we don't find that he circumcised a second time. So surely, yes, the mother circumcised her son, and technically, the baby was circumcised, and she didn't have a choice at that time. But lechatchila, to begin with, the mohel is supposed to be somebody who was obligated in the mitzvah himself during the terrible dark days that preceded the miracle of Hanukkah. There were many mothers who had mesiras nefesh, circumcised their babies, and then committed suicide with the babies. They jumped off the walls because the Greeks were coming to kill them. They would circumcise the babies and be put to death with their babies rather than violate this mitzvah. There was no father to do it. It was a supreme act of mesirat nefesh, an incredible expression of devotion to God that surely was very meaningful and tragic. And the Rambam is very careful in his words. He says, "Heina ishu mitzuva al milas bina kimoi." As Sha'av Mitzuva Alkach. Lately, it's become very popular for people to seek out female mohelets, as they call them. And that's that's been introduced as a formal upgrade, if you will, to Judaism. In fact, we in Toronto have our very own mohelet. And I'm here to tell you today that that's not the way the mitzvah is supposed to be done. If there's no choice and there's nobody else, sure, then that would work. But that is not the way the mitzvah is supposed to be performed. And we do not rely on extenuating situations in a time that is not extenuating, and there's no reason to go that direction. The Rambam in the Mishneh Torah says that it is a mitzvah taseh, it is a positive mitzvah. Interestingly enough, in the book of mitzvahs, he doesn't talk about which day at all, but in the book of Mishneh Torah, when he lists the mitzvah, he says, Lomo l'hazchorim, Bayoim Hashmini, to circumcise our children on the eighth day, which we only discover much later on in the Torah, in the middle of the book of Leviticus. And the Rambam says that the mitzvah that the Torah gives us is based on the pasuk Va'oral Zachar Ashala Yimles Psar Lase V'nichrasan Nefeshahi, that the person who doesn't perform this would receive kares. In the book of Mishneh Torah, the Rambam does not even emphasize the positive mitzvah of what has to be done, but rather proves from the fact that the Torah says you must do this, and somebody who does not do this would receive kares. The interesting thing about the bris milah is that the Rambam himself says later on in the book of Mishneh Torah that the reason that we circumcise our children is not because Avraham Avinu circumcised his son Yitzchak at 8 days, as the Rambam writes in his commentary on Masechet Chulin in Pirush HaMishnayos, Ein anu malin, we do not circumcise mipnei she'Avraham Avinu olav hashalom mol atzmei v'anshei beis, because Avraham Avinu, our father Abraham, circumcised his children and his household. Rather, mipnei she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva isanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu shenimel, because God commanded us through Moshe Rabbeinu that we should circumcise our children. So we understand that the power and the essence of Brit Milah is where we emulate the God, divine command to Avraham Avinu. But the actual command that we fulfill, commandments of the Torah were all given at Matan Torah, at Mount Sinai, through Moshe Rabbeinu, not previously. Of course, the question remains then, why is it that we call it Brito Shel Avraham Avinu? Why is the blessing, we say the blessing is Lahachnis, to bring the child lachniso bivrito shel Avraham Avinu, if after all we're talking here about a mitzvah that's performed because God gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu? So we're going to end on that question, and Bezrat Hashem tomorrow in our class we'll continue to develop and understand this 215th mitzvah of the Torah, and to try to be able to appreciate why we have on one hand the verse in Parshas Tazria that tells us that a child has to be circumcised on the eighth day, and conversely, the Rambam seems to be quoting the pasuk, the verse from Parshas Lech Lecha that was told to Avraham Avinu. To be continued, Bezrat Hashem.